We're in a series called The Great Chapters of the Bible. Now, all the chapters in the Bible are great, but we're lifting some up because I really believe that sometimes when you just focus in on one, you can learn so much more, and you also have something you can easily share with others when you share your faith. If someone were to ask me, you know, what are the four top chapters of the Bible, William, that you could share your faith about, I chose four. Last week it was the creation story in Genesis chapter 1. Today, however, it is a gospel reading. Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 32. This is the gospel within the gospel. I want you to listen to this as if you'd never heard it before. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and scribes were grumbling, saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Now, which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who have no need of repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the floor, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' So he divided the property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that land. So he sold himself out to one of the men who sent him to the fields to feed his pigs in a distant country. And he would gladly have eaten the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will go to my father and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' So he set off and he went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran to him and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father called the slave, saying, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. And put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now, the elder son was out in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He asked one of the slaves what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I've been working like a slave for you, and I never disobeyed your command, yet you have never given me even a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, you killed the fat who wasted your property on prostitutes. You killed the fatted calf for him. Then the father said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice when this brother of yours came back, for he was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This is the gospel within the gospel, because it's about a God of grace. It's about a God whose mercies and grace breaks through all human restrictions on how God should act. You see, God is like the shepherd in the parable who's so reckless that he'll leave his 99 sheep in the wilderness and go after the one sheep that is lost. God is like the woman who turns the lamp on and sweeps the house and searches carefully for it, turns the house upside down. I'm sure some of us have turned the house upside down looking for something precious. God is like that woman who turned the house upside down to find the one coin. And God is like the father who waits, peers out the window. Perhaps today is the day the son will come home. And he waits, and he waits, and he waits. And when he sees his son, he waits no longer, but runs to him and welcomes him back. What I love about these parables is it doesn't go something like this. The shepherd went looking for the lost sheep, the one lost sheep, and looked and looked and looked and looked and looked, but couldn't find the lost sheep, and it was getting late, and the shepherd was hungry, so he went home. The parable doesn't read, the woman turned the house upside down, and then she realized, I've made a mess of this place. I got to clean it up. So she forgot about the coin. No. And let me tell you how the story of the loving father turned out. It didn't go that one day the father just said, you know, I've waited long enough and he's broken my heart enough. It's hardened. I'll wait no more. No, it doesn't end that way. You see, God will look as long as it takes to find the sheep, sweep as much as it takes to find the coin, and he'll wait as much as it takes for his son to come home. You see, I'm reminded of a story, could be a true story, but I'm sure you can relate to it, about a family that was on vacation. And as they were gathering up together to go back home, well, they needed to get into the van. And before they got into the van, the mother and father said, we need to count heads. There's 7 of us here, you know, you and me and our 5 children. So they did a little head count, you know. I'm sure you've had to do a head count from time to time. So they counted, you and me, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They said 6. We're supposed to have 7. So the father said, well, 6 out of 7 isn't bad. Let's go home. No. You see, in a family, everybody counts. And so if you're counting and you go, there's only 6 of us here, you're going to go, well, who's the 7th one? It's Junior. Where is Junior? We're not going anywhere until we find Junior. Junior is missing. That's the way your family would act. Let me tell you, it's the way God acts with his family. You know, we use the word lost, and I don't understand why we use the word. It's actually in the story. But over time, the word lost has become a pejorative word that we've used. Like, he's lost and, you know, going to you-know-where, or lost because they're so crooked and wicked. And we have stereotyped a group of people we don't even want to associate with. But basically, the biblical understanding of the word lost simply means missing. It's missing. It's out of place. And God is concerned about his missing children. And God wants all his children found. And God's grace is great enough that he will do whatever it takes to find his children. He will search. He will wait. Whatever it takes. This is why I love this chapter. Because it really is about a God of grace who's determined that none of his children be lost, that they all be found, that there are none that are missing. Now, before Jesus told these three parables, there was a little problem. And the problem was this. Pharisees and scribes were trying to trick Jesus as best they could. They didn't like Jesus. And they were coming up with all kinds of ways to say, well, you know, whatever you do, don't follow this fellow because look at what he says or look at what he does. And one of the things they did to criticize Jesus, they said, look, he actually welcomes sinners and eats with them. Now, in that particular time, an unrighteous person was somebody you were not supposed to associate with, much less welcome or eat with. But this, in fact, was what Jesus was doing. He was welcoming sinners and he was eating with them. And guess what? That's why the tax collectors and sinners were coming to hear him. Because of who he was and the things he had to say. And so Jesus is answering their criticism by telling them these stories. And in these stories, he points out to them that, you know, when the lost are found, all heaven is breaking loose into a party. And they're having joy. Joy. Jesus is up to something. He really wants to get them to see where they should be and to move from merely grumbling to rejoicing over people when they are loved, embraced, accepted, found, rescued, reconnected to the family, whatever words you want to use. Jesus actually wants to change their attitude from one of grumbling to rejoicing. And here's the neat thing. At the end of the story of the, we call it the prodigal son, but actually it's the story of the waiting father. But at the end of the story, you're kind of left hanging a little bit because there's an elder son and he's outside the house and he doesn't want to go inside because inside they're celebrating the fact that he won't call him his brother, but they're celebrating the fact that his brother has come home. And so actually who that elder brother is a picture of the Pharisees and scribes because they would rather not go in, meaning that they would associate with someone like that. And that is a ridiculous attitude because how long do you want to stay outside the house merely because of your attitude of self-righteousness? How long do you want to stay out there and miss the party? I don't think that the Pharisees and scribes ever got it. But Jesus told those three parables so they would see the foolishness of their attitude. Rather than grumbling, they should be rejoicing over what Jesus is doing. They should be rejoicing that people are responding to Jesus. All kinds of people. People you wouldn't even thought of. They're all responding. There was an artist in China who came to understand Jesus. And this particular artist gave his life to the ministry of Jesus. But the artist said, I best share my faith through my paintings. So he talked with this particular missionary and said, if I were to paint one picture, what should it be about from the Bible? And this missionary said, you should paint the parable in Luke chapter 15 about the son who comes home and his father embraces him. So he did. And he poured his life into it and he just gave it all he had because he really wanted this artwork to express his faith and so that he could share it with others and say, do you see the God of grace that we have? So he finished his painting and it was a beautiful thing. But the missionary recognized that the father had run out to meet his son. He was in the act of running. And his robe was swishing around and everything. And then the missionary recognized that God had, the father had on a blue shoe and a red shoe. And he said, oh my goodness, do you see the shoes don't match? And the artist just chuckled, oh, I'll tell you about that. He was so anxious to get out and see his son that he put the two shoes that was closest to him on. It did not matter he had red shoe, blue shoe. Did not matter his shoes not match. Our God is anxious to love, quick to forgive, eager to reconcile. Our God is anxious to love, quick to forgive, eager to reconcile. Our God is the God with the unmatched shoes. His shoes don't match. He's so much in a hurry to come embrace us. That's why, for me, Luke chapter 15 is a great chapter, because it's a picture of who God is, and it's a picture of God's grace. And the message is just simply this, very simply. First of all, are you ready to come home? Because you'll be welcomed home. You know, God's grace is His seeking, forgiving love, a love that looks for us even when we're not aware of it. That's the way God's love is. The Father whose Son left Him, He may have left home, but he never left the heart of His Father. His Father always embraced Him in His heart. And God's grace is like that. And the invitation is just simply, you know, if you want to come home and say, I've been missing from the family, but I want to connect. I want to connect with a group in the church. I want to connect not just in worship, but in fellowship. I want to connect in the life of the church. I want to connect in the family of the church. I want to connect in what the church is doing in the world to increase God's love and the love of neighbor. I've been missing. Maybe I've been here, but I've been missing. And the invitation is simply this, that you know what? You're welcome. You're embraced. Now, probably for most of us, the invitation that we respond to should be this. Are you ready to join a search and rescue crew? Because we've got a lot of missing people for a lot of different reasons. Begin in your home and ask who's missing. And again, we're not using this as a pejorative word. We're using this in the way that that God would use it. Because God desires none of His children to be missing. And so the invitation is also to ask yourself this. Are you ready to join a search and rescue mission? Because there are a lot of people missing. Begin in your home and then maybe in a Sunday school class you're a part of or a small group you're a part of. You know, you can even do that in your neighborhood. They don't necessarily have to go to this church. You can just ask, how are the people in the neighborhood doing? And then, last but not least, I want you to be able to share this message with somebody else sometime about the God whose shoes don't match. I want you to be able to share the good news of Jesus Christ with someone someday using this story about a God who loves us so much that He just won't ever give up on us. Like the shepherd who goes after the lost sheep, like the woman who sweeps the house to find the coin, and like the father who waits and waits and waits as long as it takes. You're invited to respond in the way that God leads you. Let us stand.